And quite frankly, minding my own business in Egyptology, I mean, wasn't my thing at all. I had a vocation like everybody else. I got interested. I read books about the pyramids, but that's about it. Until as things happen, I call it my. Although I don't compare myself to Isaac Newton, I still call it the apple that fell on my head. And I'm a great believer that things occur all the time, but we just don't pay attention. Everybody knows about the apple that fell on Newton's head. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it typifies the reaction of one man who asked the right question: why did it fall? I happened to go to Egypt from Saudi Arabia to visit my mother, who was still living there. And I took a diversion before going to Alexandria. I went to the Cairo Museum. You know, when you live in Egypt, you just don't do these things, you know. Tourists go and see the pyramids, not the Egyptians. So it was an odd thing for me to do. But I don't know, it's something took me there. And I went into a room where they kept the relics of the pyramid builders. It's very little. As you may know, very little has been found of the great pyramid builders. And there was on the wall a picture, a photograph, a very large photograph, taken by the Egyptian Air Force in the 1950s, which showed a direct overhead of the three pyramids of Giza. And I recall I had in those days, I'm talking 1981 here, 82, I can't remember the exact day, where, you know, there was no internet, there was no fax. I mean, you know, the fax were being introduced then, you know, so very different world. And it sounds strange for us to say, you know, I was surprised to see an aerial photograph, but you didn't see aerial photographs commonly in those days, you know, let alone satellite photographs. So to me, it was a novelty. I mean, I'd never seen them from the air that way. And I had an old, well, now it's old, I had a nice Olympus camera with a black and white film in it, and I took a picture. And that was it. You know, I returned to Saudi Arabia, developed, and I had forgotten about it until I developed the film. And it just was one of those things. I was surprised that nobody had raised that question, like Newton's question. I saw three pyramids, two very large ones. They were clearly on a diagonal line. The base of the pyramid is a square. So you had two squares running along the diagonal. The third pyramid was much smaller, which in itself was intriguing, and offset to that line, to the east or left side. And that was it. You know, I asked the question, why did they do that? The question that first nagged me was why the third pyramid was smaller. You know, all I had read about from Egyptologists was that these kings who built pyramids were megalomaniacs, and they mobilized their country, and they were, you know, so why would the third builder advertise a smaller pyramid? Because it's called the small pyramid. I mean, you know, it's diminutive. You know, people who go and see the pyramids of Giza, they say, oh, two big ones, one small. It's not small, it's 65 meters high. But if you put it next to these giants that are 140 meters plus, then it does look small. I'm thinking of an analogy. I mean, I'm a rather tall guy. I'm slightly over 6 feet. But I have my nephew, who, believe it or not, is 7 feet 4. He's a basketball player. When I go next to him, I look small. I really look small. It's embarrassing. You know, I have pictures with him where he actually lifts me. So why would a pharaoh want to advertise that he was smaller? You know, so the explanation for the Egyptologists, they didn't have the resources. How did they know they didn't have the resources? He died early. That makes sense. How did he know he was going to die early when he started building his pyramid?